Unfortunately, due to Skype thinking that I wanted to record off my web mic on a podcast that does not have any visual, it decided to record me off my webcam instead of from my microphone. So that is why in this episode I'm going to be sounding like I am in another room.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 517, recorded on October 15th, 2018.
To the 517th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 350th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am TJ Denzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry, and I guess we don't do other things anymore.
Well, actually, we were going to do a gaming flashback of Dead Space. But there's so many articles.
But nobody likes that game, so why would we?
That is true. That is not true, and you shut up.
Oh, you see, now TJ has to say all your taste is in your mouth.
I said what I wanted to say.
In your own mind.
I said what I wanted to say.
But here's the thing, exactly. Is that we have Paul for the 350th episode of Video Game Roundtable, I guess the tri-sesquicentennial episode of the Video Game Roundtable, and here's the thing, I was not around for all 517 episodes of the TD Gaming Podcast. It was more like 317, but I have been around for each and every single one of the 350 episodes of the
Oh, Jonah Falcon, who are you bullshitting? You're 10,000 years older than dirt.
Well, Paul joined at episode 92, if I remember, and you stuck around until, was it like 250, 260, something like that?
I did over 200 episodes. It was upsetting.
So only
because it was proof that I had.
Oh, that's right. You know, I think it was 296, and then you came back 4 weeks later to do 300.
Something like that.
I think that was it. And then Jordan was with us, and then Jordan treated us all to his bleeding foot.
Yeah. Something we didn't need to see.
Something that the podcast didn't need to see because it literally destroyed the episode.
Yeah. So, anyways. Paul, you're still teaching?
Yes, I am still teaching. I love my teaching job, and my side gig is going very nicely. I design escape rooms. Yeah, I design escape rooms. They're actually building some of them in Las Vegas. Should be open by December.
Wow,
very excited about that.
So here,
I know, right? Now I have a reason to fly out there.
Yeah, I actually walked by one on Melrose Avenue, and it was actually themed. I think one of the themes they were doing was the Terminator. And some other themes. I'm trying to remember.
Anything's possible. It's been a while since I've been in LA, so.
I mean, but they're starting to, it's becoming more and more popular. And I think it's because it's sort of the same reason that board games are getting more and more popular. I mean, it's fun to do a computer game, but when you're actually in the area and you actually can grab things and type things and all that stuff with a group of other people who are actually in front of you, it has that a better sense of immediacy, you know? I mean,
now, Jonah, have you ever played an escape room? Well, then you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Shut up.
Yes, I do.
Ow.
I actually did the announcement for one.
Oh, you missed me. You know you did.
Yeah. But it's like board
games. That's okay.
You know?
That's okay. Maybe when I'm there, you can show me some of the new ones.
Yeah. But actually, you know, they actually had one at E3.
Did they now?
Yes. For the Fallout 76 thing, they actually had people doing escape room type stuff. I mean, they had to be quick because, you know, it's like hundreds of people are coming in and out, you know, constantly. So they had like six rooms going at once, and it was all Fallout themed. And, you know, I recognized one or two of the local actors. I did not break their, break their cover or, you know, their character, so...
Now, when you say recognized people,
just people I did background work with. You know.
So wait, but they had their clothes on? I don't understand.
They had lab uniforms on.
Oh, it's funny because you're a slut.
What?
How could you recognize anybody with their clothes on, Jonah?
Okay, so anyways, yeah, but they did them for Fallout 76. By the way, there's been a ton of videos coming out about Fallout 76, and before we go into what you've been playing, for those of us who have watched these, I'm guessing you've watched one or two of them, TJ, what are your impressions?
Oh, I watched all of them. Yeah. I love them. I love the old-timey, like, 1950s PSA nuclear announcement style of it.
I don't care about that. I don't care about the trailers. I'm caring about gameplay. What do you think of gameplay so far? Because the beta has been going on, and people have started playing gameplay videos.
That's okay. I like the other things more.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting what they're doing with VATS. It's sort of like instead of, you know, freezing the game, because you can't freeze the game. You know, it has to be in slow-mo. So they just sort of like do sort of a caps lock, you know, target lock.
That's my favorite kind of mo. Low.
Here's the problem, though. The game's in real time, but it still has the same awful inventory system of Fallout 4. And that has got to change.
Yeah, I don't know how. Well, there's definitely ways to go about it, and surely somebody will come up with one when modding becomes possible for the game.
Can you mod it? Really? I mean, it's an online game.
Yes, you can't. They're going to eventually. Todd Howard confirmed that there's going to be eventually private servers, and that is specifically for the purpose of allowing mods.
Okay.
Private servers.
Yes.
These are not private rooms, Paul. Get your mind out of the gutter.
God damn it.
They also have the smaller version of settlements too. Like you have these packs that allow you to build your own little shack in the middle of nowhere. And one of the things I found interesting is that people started running into the nuclear blast when they were demoing it. And I noticed, you know, one person got mutated into having an egg head. And that's one of the things is that you can get diseases in this and mutations. And they'll have both beneficial and negative effects on you.
Yeah, one of the ones that I knew of was, I think it was called Bird Boned. Where, like, you can jump, yeah, I know, but you can jump extremely high, but at the risk of, like, everything does much more damage to your limbs, and you can break bones a lot easier.
Yeah, that's actually a real disease. That's what happens when you, well, for one thing, old people have it because their bones are decalcifying, but also there are some people who don't have enough bone marrow, so it sort of makes their bones a lot weaker.
It's bone.
Yeah. So, anyways, Scott, did you watch the videos?
I have watched some Let's Plays that people did. What was it? Every True Nerd. I think Evil John, and he showed going around talking to some of the players that had joined him on that demo. And he was fighting robots and some squirrels and exploring and seeing what different things did and the new card system. Apparently you get a level right within the initial vault before you leave, so you get kind of a taste of what the stat system is before you even get out of the vault. And it looked interesting.
They made the game a lot easier fighting an environment because they wanted people to get the full experience. Like you could have a couple of level 7 people taking down a level 50 monster, which in Fallout 4 would be impossible, but they just wanted to show people, hey, this is what you can do.
Right. I think it'll be fun trying it out with the people that I know and not have, like, an exorbitant amount of people just running around. It'll be better with, like, a close group of friends on a private server. It will be a lot more fun.
Yeah. So, Paul, I'm guessing you haven't watched it. You've been too busy.
No, I'm too busy. I have students.
Yeah. So, Paul, what have you
been students.
Playing?
I'm too busy playing the things that they're playing.
Yeah, what have you been playing?
What are your students telling you about it?
I don't know. They're too busy doing my homework. I'm too busy grading it.
But I know you've been playing something, Paul.
I've been playing Undertale. Like, I started it, like, 5 times, and I can never seem to get past, like, the first room.
Really?
Yeah, I just lose interest.
You don't do the fastest run?
Everybody says how great it is, and it's like, why is this flower trying to kill me all the time? I just never get to the end.
Because he's adorbs.
Paul, you don't have to kill anybody in the game.
But they what fun is that? Well, it's not just allowing me to take on my murderous rampage.
Oh, you can do that. Well, that's
the
thing.
He wants the bad ending, doesn't he? He wants the murder ending.
But this giant cow thing is always like, no, I'm your friend. Don't let the flowers kill you. And it's like, okay, you're boring.
I want some beef, man. Let me get out the butcher knife because that cow's going down.
It's a giant cow thing.
Where it's utter like a hat.
But no, the real reason is because I have gotten one of the 100 coveted slots for my school's leadership academy, so that's just requiring an insane amount of work from me.
Yeah, but you haven't.
It's exhausting.
You haven't been playing your alternate version of Dungeon Keeper, though.
Well, yeah, just because. I mean, I was waiting for the show to start, and I was like, "Oh, I haven't
talked about it.
I haven't placed this icon in a while." No, War for the Overworld apparently is a loving homage to the Dungeon Keeper series, in that it's exactly the same game. They just changed the names of the Dark Mistresses to succubi.
Hmm. How about you, TJ?
That's it, really.
How about you, TJ? What have you been playing?
I've been doing all sorts of things. I beat Mega Man 11 for the third time. So
are you getting ready for the next Mega Man, are we?
Well, after I beat it, I got a little nostalgic for some of the older ones, and I have the second Mega Man collection, which has Mega Man 7 through 10. Okay. So I played through 8 because that's one of my favorite ones in the series, and it's like, oh my god, the voice acting is so incredibly bad. This was in a time where they couldn't have been hiring anyone, like, literally, just get the janitor in here. He has a good voice. He can do Dr. Light.
Oh, come on. Have you ever played House of the Dead, the first arcade game?
The voice acting in Mega Man 8 makes House of the Dead look good.
Yo, and that's impossible.
I know.
That is impossible. There is no way anything could be worse than House of the Dead arcade.
You would think, but...
Oh my god, they took G.
You killed Kenny, you bastard.
I thought King's Quest V had bad voice acting.
I don't know what it is, but we mustn't let it fall into Dr. Wiwi's hands.
Dr. Wiwi?
Dr. Wiwi.
Well, I like Dr. Wiwi.
You're reminding me of that thing from Castlevania, What is a Man? That part of the man speech.
That's also some classic good bad voice acting.
How many roads must a man walk down before we can call him a man?
But I also started Horizon Zero Dawn. I had never played that game. I missed out on it when it was popular. And so it was like $20 on Steam for like the base game and all the DLC. So I was like, sure, why not?
You know, that reminds me. Check this out. I bought Metal Gear Solid 5 for $10, a used copy, and then... Xbox Live gave it away for free. So I have a disc for $10 that is basically useless.
Of course you do.
Horizon Zero Dawn is very fun. It's like, I didn't tell my wife about it at all when we got started to play, and so she just thought it was going to be like a wilderness Nordic game, and then suddenly machines show up, and it's sci-fi land. Robot world.
But is it as fun as Dr. 13?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Jodie Whittaker is awesome, and she makes a lovely Barbie doll.
I am lost.
I always knew the doctor would make a lovely Barbie.
She's certainly more intelligible than Dr. 12.
This is true. That man was a lunatic. I didn't even watch that series.
Are we talking about Doctor Who? Paul, have you started watching Doctor Who again?
I have. I started watching because Jodie Whittaker is apparently awesome. That and the fact that I realized like a week ago that I get BBC America now.
I mean, the only thing I know about that is the guy from Local Heroes now the Doctor.
No.
Peter Capaldi.
No. Peter Capaldi has been retired, and we've now moved on to Doctor number 13. Okay. You're behind, Jonah.
I don't I watch the Doctor.
Whole controversy, and you missed it.
I watched
Doctor.
Doctor Who is a lady now.
Paul, I watched My Little Pony.
Doctor 313. This show has legs.
Well, you don't need to. Just watch the Honest trailer.
Okay. I haven't watched CinemaSins in a while. Oh, wait, that's not CinemaSins. That's Honest trailer is just CinemaSins.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is CinemaSins, then what is... Damn, I forgot the name. Those guys.
The memories of the OC from XCOM in it.
What's funny is when they do the Honest trailer for XCOM, he remarks, you know, the guy who's playing the director has a lovely voice.
Doesn't the movie... I heard somewhere that the movie phone guy gets $1 million for 10 seconds.
That's a lot of movie phone money.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, it's a good... You know, it's like... you will... Terminator Genesis will be on in 10 minutes. Anyways. But, Scott, what have you been playing?
Minecraft and Dragon's Quest 11. I'm almost done with Dragon's Quest 11. I don't know if I said it before, but I'm in the third act of the game after beating what I thought was going to be the final boss. There's an actual final boss, and the game gets much harder during this phase of the game.
But wait a minute. What if it's like Nier Automata, and it just says, oh, it's not the end of the game. Now you get to play as the other person now. Oh, and the game's still not over. Now you get to play as her again. You play as both of them. You have to play the game three. You have to play Nier Automata three times to get the actual ending.
Yeah, I think this is just a once over thing where you get to go back in time, fix it, and get like a proper ending. But in order to do so, you have to kill an even worse villain than the first guy that you took out. So I guess this game has two evil villains.
By the way, Paul, have you played Breath of the Wild?
Of course I played Breath of the Wild. How reclusive do you think I am?
He did say that, Jonah.
I don't remember him saying that he did or not, because he hasn't been on
for
a while.
He called his Switch the Zelda machine, the Breath of
the
Wild.
Exactly. I still have no other games.
Yeah, it's been a while, though. That's a callback. That at this point, would be considered a callback.
Okay.
That's true.
Over a year old, damn it. You haven't played any other games on the Switch?
I bought a game called Max once. It's about a little boy who gets magic crayons.
Oh, yeah, that game. Saw that at E3.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
The new Mario Party is very good. Actually, that's something else I've been playing.
Oh, wait, that's not true. I did get the cardboard game. The Nintendo Labor. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I made a little remote control car that I played with for exactly 4 minutes.
Oh, I thought you had gotten the one that makes a keyboard.
I am. I just haven't gotten that far yet. Oh.
The Nintendo Labor.
The Nintendo Labor.
It is.
That is one word away from being a federal crime, the Nintendo Child Labor.
Well, it's video games.
Curse your oversized adult hands.
Yeah.
Well, pretty soon Nintendo will release the Labo drone so that you can spy on your neighbors.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
There was a contest that Nintendo put out where they actually, like, told people to make whatever they felt like making with Nintendo Labo cardboard, and some people in Australia, crazy as they are, put together an actual motorcycle with it.
Wow.
I'm not even joking.
They made a gigantic penis. Because that's what people do when you ask them to be creative these days.
No, Australia is a wasteland.
You have one-track mind, Jonah.
So does a motorcycle.
Perp cycle.
Jonah will be racing to make the first penis in Fallout 76 as soon as he gets the game.
Here's the thing. I was really down
on Fallout 76. A volcano of pus erupts from huge cysts.
This is actually
what happens when I'm bored.
I was really down on Fallout 76. Now I'm sort of like, maybe. So we'll see. I mean, the videos have really raised my opinion of it. So, but yeah. So I've been playing. I've been playing Two Point Hospital, which is it was made by the same guys from Bullfrog who did Theme Hospital. And, you know, instead of Bloaty Head, they have Turtle Head, Bright Head, in which the person walks in, their head is a lit light bulb, And in order to cure them, you have to screw their head off and put it in a machine and then take it out and then screw it back on. So it's now normal. There's some really weird ways. I mean, there are people who have balloon head and they just take out a large pin and they just pop it and then they reinflate the head. I think that's from Theme Hospital. But yeah, it is a really deep hospital sim. It comes in a very goofy, Peter Molyneux-esque sort of setting. But yeah.
Nope. Back to pimple videos.
What?
Nope, back to pimple videos. You lost me.
And I tried, oh god, what was the name of the game that I... Oh yeah, I tried Vampyr. And I rage quit and I sent it back to Gamefly with various curses. Here's the thing, the story is eh, the acting is bad. Not as bad as the games that we were talking about earlier. The writing is... It's like a 15-year-old who's trying to sound smart. Using a lot of big words. I mean, I liked the relationship aspect in which you have to talk to people to open up hidden conversations. But the combat is just bad. It is really bad. And it's sort of like saying, well, you know, if you want to win, you better start eating people, you know, to get those yummy experience points. And I'm saying, no, I want story, damn it. I don't care about...
Couldn't have been any worse than the Xena video game.
I never played that.
Lucky you.
I'm just saying, it's like, I'm not going to sacrifice story just to be able to beat creatures, you know? And what it tells me is that they had an idea, but that idea runs counter to what's fun in a video game. You know? I'd rather have fun than clever any day of the week. And I know Paul's going to start piping up with his, you know, gameplay, story is gameplay's bitch line any second now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so you know these things already. Why should I have to repeat myself?
Yeah, but it's sort of like you're like Gary Coleman. You got to say what you're talking about at some point. You know, no one under 40 is going to get that reference.
No, it's because you're old. I had to look it up on Google.
Really? You watch Different Google. Strokes?
You're old. I think we can all just agree on that and move on.
Which just bothers me is more people know about Chuck Norris than Gary Coleman, and that really irritates the hell out of me.
Considering he's a rantum homophobe, I agree.
Yeah, and also has absolutely no talent. But anyways.
I say we give Dr. Pimple Popper an Emmy.
Who? Is that another Dr.
YouTube? YouTube it, Dr. Pimple Popper.
I do not want to YouTube it.
No, thank you.
Well, apparently it's
not. She's awesome.
Oh, is this another YouTube freak? Is this just someone?
No. No, she apparently she does pro bono work for, you know, she's a dermatologist. She does pro bono work for people who don't have any insurance, as long as she could, you know, videotape their procedures and put them on her YouTube channel.
The dog disagrees. Welcome back, Paul. You really elevated the scope of this podcast.
Hey, all I'm saying is it's October. We have to find our horrors where we can get them.
Paul's now going to direct us to the Cake Farts website.
You're disgusting and you know it.
Well, you know, it's always a great lemon party with Paul. And no one under the age of 30 is going to get that.
I didn't get it.
You don't know what a lemon party is?
No, we're not going to.
I know what a tea party is.
Oh, Paul doesn't know what a lemon party is. Oh, dear.
I think I can imagine.
I can't help it. I've been getting political in my old age. The only thing I do anymore is scroll on Facebook and read political news.
Let's just say it's on the level of two girls, one cup, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Anyways, we do have some game news. Like I said, we were going to talk about Dead Space, but there's just too much news. And Paul's here, so we're going to have a lot of opinions.
So that means we're always going to be like 45 minutes behind schedule.
No, that was TJ's fault. And your
tangentially.
Fault. And both of your faults.
Me and Scott were ready. Because I'd rather talk about, since, like, I don't know, anything other than...
Me and Scott were ready since first call. Anyways, we're going to move on to the first news item. Go ahead, TJ.
Skybound Games will finish the final season of Telltale's The Walking Dead from The Verge. The final season of Telltale Games' The Walking Dead will be completed. The failed studio reached a deal with Skybound Games to finish the season, the development of which was halted when the studio laid off most of its employees at the end of the September.
And then hashtag they released the other 25 not shortly after that.
Yeah. At New York City Comic Con, Kirkman told a panel that his company had come to a deal with Telltale to complete the story. According to Variety, Skybound will work with members of the original Telltale team to finish the story, although that hasn't been finalized yet. In a tweet, Skybound Games, the gaming division of Skybound Media, which was founded by The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman, confirmed that it will wrap up Clem's story and that it will have more details soon. In September, the Telltale Games abruptly laid off approximately 250 of its employees, several months after co-founder and former CEO Kevin Bruner sued the company and after reports of the studio's toxic culture surfaced. In the aftermath of the layoffs, the studio said that it was working to find a new studio to complete the season of the game, which just launched last month. The studio shortly thereafter pulled the final season from retailers, and then shortly after that, they released the final members of the staff. Games published by Skybound include Slime Rancher and The Long Dark.
I own both of those, too. I backed The Long Dark. So, basically, what's happening is that Robert Kirkman says, hell no, this has to go on because it's going to hurt my brand, and his company is going to finish it.
Well, I'm so glad that Robert Kirkman is out there to protect his brand.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? You know, well, he was giving some people from the team some employment. But, you know, Paul, have you been following this? Because all during this, I kept on thinking about how outraged you probably were. I mean, here's the thing is that they're actually suing, Telltale. Because even though Telltale claims that they obeyed California law and there's an, normally you have to give severance when you when you have a closure. But Telltale claimed bankruptcy. I don't know which chapter was it. It was chapter 7 or 11 or something like that.
They tried to use legal loopholes to deny everybody severance.
Yeah. And there is a video game workers union that's forming, that's around, that's trying to use this to as a rallying cry.
I've been only tangentially curious about Telltale. I mean, I haven't really been too much a fan of their products, and I'm not really a Walking Dead fan. But they tried to do something interesting. It's a shame that, people are catching on that, they're getting bilked. You can't offer people the illusion of meaningful choices the way that they did and expect that players are going to be okay with that. Essentially, based on the choices that the players were being asked to make in game, they would get the same scene, but possibly with different art assets for a different character.
Well, it
was really cheaping out, so I'm not really surprised that they're going under.
Batman, Lego Batman, the second season, actually did have a meaningful choice, and it had branched off into two wildly different storylines. Here's a spoiler. Either the Joker became a vigilante or the Joker became a villain, and either a branching story were due to your choices, and there was no intersection between the two. There was basically two different stories that were branching out. And that might have happened with Walking Dead final season. We don't know.
Lies.
But the problem is that TJ and Scott, you saw the video I sent, right? Which was an analyzing.
Yes, I watched it.
And apparently they lost the faith of investors who started pulling out. And when their last investor pulled out, they had no choice but to close up shop immediately.
That's what happens when you pull out.
Not that kind of pull out, Paul.
Gotta close up shop.
Yeah, I watched it, and it really kind of clarified why I think the Minecraft story mode wasn't as good as it could have been, and that the Dragon's Quest Builders was actually a better Minecraft story mode kind of game. They really just didn't have time to develop and fully explore this thing. And, they had crunch times constantly. And it just sounds like the whole place was a toxic environment to work in.
Well, not just long work hours. I mean, they were, you know, they weren't Riot Games bad, but it was bad. But when you try to do six different properties, you know, like they did, I think either in 2017 or 2016.
Yeah.
You can only do that.
Which are all essentially the same game.
Not really. I mean, they had different feels to them. I mean, I would never confuse the Wolf Among Us with, say, Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, but those are only aesthetic differences, Jonah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You have walking simulators right now. So I don't mind a good interactive novel. I bought those choose-your-own-adventure things by the dozen. That said, I do miss having puzzles like there were in Sam and Max, you know, when you actually had to think. Or the puzzles in Wallace and Gromit were really good.
Sam and Max was probably my favorite Telltale series, only because it kind of did still feel like it felt like that transition between Telltale being an extension of LucasArts and Telltale being Telltale.
Well, did you play Wallace and Gromit?
No, I didn't.
Okay, it actually had some really good puzzles in it. And it was exactly like watching a Nick Lord game. But here's the thing. This entire Telltale thing just made me hate gamers even more, because it just illustrated, for the most part, how they're so entitled, and I think the anthem of the typical gamer, or, you know, male gamer anyway, is, me, 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 me. What about me? What about me? What about me? And my answer is, what about you? You know?
That's why it was off-putting when you said Robert Kirkman was worried about, was very concerned about the brand. Well, it's like, oh God, won't somebody please think of the poor brand?
Well, no, I mean, that's what Robert Kirkman was thinking. It's not what I'm thinking. It's just like Robert Kirkman had to step in. You know, because I don't know how well The Walking Season is doing on AMC. You know, they're in their ninth season, and they also have that spinoff Fear the Walking Dead. I don't even know if that's still around, you know. But
I feel like whenever I hear people talk about The Walking Dead anymore, it's not like, this was a great episode, or, oh my God, I can't believe what happened. These days, it's more along the lines of, this show should have ended three seasons ago.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is that, you know, my first concern, and always concern, was all the people who were fired, you know? I mean, we talked about this, like, I think 2 weeks ago, about one guy who had a visa in the United States to come work for them, and like 5 days into his job, he said, okay, you got to go. You got to get back to your country, wherever it is, and you have 5 days to do it to pick up. And another person moved across the country, you know, and didn't have a place to stay if he was fired, you know, because he'd have to move back. He didn't have a place there moving back. So it's sort of like it disrupted a lot of lives. And I'm glad, whenever you have a closure like this, you always have people saying, well, send us your resume, we'll hire you. I have to think that, you know, not
everyone's going to get
fired. I mean, well, you do have, you know, people offering to ex-employees, you know, Telltale. I don't know how much of it is genuine or how many of them, but 250, not all of them are going to get jobs.
When a major studio with brand recognizable titles goes under, there are not enough jobs to go around.
Yeah.
People are going to be out of work for quite a while. It doesn't matter how talented they are or how well-intentioned all of their industry connections are. There simply is not enough work to absorb 400 jobs suddenly.
Yeah, and I imagine that if they do get work, it's going to be something that's very, very, you know, lower paying. Like, oh, yeah, well, we just need you to do some beta testing for us, some internal quality control. It's like, yeah, you get $10,000 a year for that. Or something like that. I mean, you'd know, Paul.
Yeah, let's not go there.
I didn't mean it in that
way.
I'm in the industry, you're aware of what's going on. I didn't mean personal. Although I know you had personal dealings with that. But I mean, in general, being a part of that part, being in that part of the industry.
Yeah, I mean, whenever a studio closes, whenever anyone's project just kind of comes to its natural end, you know, there's always going to be a period of one's life being extremely unsettled, no matter how good they are or how many connections they have. It's just kind of the nature of the business. A lot of it does require to be in the right place in the right time with the perfect skill set.
Let me ask you a question, Paul. What Do you know the ratio that's going on now to salaried employees and contractors in video game development these days?
No.
Okay.
I teach.
You know, you teach how to do it. You don't teach. Do you ever say, "Well, listen, kids, let me be honest with you. You're going to get fucked over five ways from Sunday in this industry."
No. I would never say something like that.
But are you tempted to?
But I do strive to impress upon my students that the competition out there is really, really tough. I tell them all the time, you can't just give me 70% of what I ask for, hoping to get a 70 on my assignment and move on out of my class, because getting by is not going to get you employed. Given the bare minimum is not going to, you know, get you a job. You got to give your best all the time.
That's true of any industry.
But Scott, you know, they don't, in most industries, they don't force you to work 80 hours a week.
I mean,
I knew one guy who did.
That's not video game development.
Yeah, it wasn't video game development. It was drafting, and he would the boss slowly asked him to work later and later, asked him to work on a Saturday. "Oh, I don't mean to do this, but I kind of need your help." And then got him to work on Sundays, and he was working 80-hour weeks. And I was like, that's insane. I haven't heard – until video game stuff, I hadn't heard anyone work that many hours.
Well, in his case – crazy. I wonder how many, you know, if you know, finding a new place of employment is possible. You know, I don't know anything about drafting. I'm assuming you're meaning mechanical drafting.
Electrical on AutoCAD. I do fire alarms.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of drafting you can do, from architectural to landscape to interior decorating, anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you know, in video game industry, it's more expected, you know. I mean, crunch times and all that stuff, it's quote-unquote part of the culture, unquote, even though it shouldn't be.
I do like Josh Sawyer at least saying that they try to avoid that sort of thing, even if it does happen, apparently, but at least they try to avoid it.
Well, and then today you had a... You had one of the Housers from Rockstar Games go do an interview with, I think it was not Kotaku, it was someone before that. I think it was Game Informer. And they were pretty much like, yeah, our guys are proud to work 100 hours. Like, they're proud to do that, or you make them do that, and they just don't say anything.
I'm pretty sure Mojang doesn't do 80-hour weeks. I'm very certain of that, actually.
You never know.
See, now this is the part where I can start spewing about the evils of capitalism and how those in charge will always work the workers until they drop.
See, in most cases, you're right, Paul, because the problem is that when you have a company like EA or Activision, they have investors and they want to see the stocks rise. So what happens is they have these dates that we want this game out, and those dates are always the last day of the first day, you know, have deal with the quarter. So that they can show the investors, hey, look how much money we made. You know, because if you're releasing in the middle of the quarter, it's like, you know, everything is based on getting that magic number at the end of the quarter. I mean, that's why Sony is so pleased with itself, because they released God of War at just the right time to maximize, not profits, but maximize the amount that they made in that quarter, you know. So it isn't like split in half. No, no, all of it is done in this quarter.
That's the problem right there, is you have this stock market that has nothing to do with game development. Somebody making a game in their freaking garage for, you know, however long, and they make it, and there's no stocks on it, there's no trading, and it might be a good game and have nothing to do with the stupid stock market.
Well, here's the thing, Scott, you know, you can have your indie games, you know, your A games, even your AA games, which don't have stockholders who are demanding that you release something at a certain time so they can make money, you know. But on the other hand, you know, I do enjoy a really high budget game. I mean, there's a reason why Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is selling like hotcakes, because there's a lot of work put into it, you know. And sometimes you do want a lot of bells and whistles, and that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, yeah, I can't have a diet of indie games all the time.
I don't like 3D graphics. I don't need voice acting.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying, you know, there are some games, you know, which have developers who say, you know, it's going to be done when it's done. You know, and kudos to people who say that. I mean, that's been id Software's. I wonder if id Software can still say that though. I mean, ZeniMax is no better than EA or Microsoft or Activision when it says, or Ubisoft when it says, get this game out on this date. So I'm wondering if id Software ever says it'll be done when it's done. You know, that's actually a good segue to the next time, because Chris Sawyer is definitely doing it'll be done when it's done with his project. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
Blizzard denies?
No, Star Citizen.
Oh, okay. I was ahead of myself. Star Citizen's latest promise rakes in almost $1 million, and this comes to us from Polygon. Donations to the crowd-funded space combat video game, which have been in development since 2012, spiked on Wednesday, the day Cloud Imperium Games issued a 3-minute trailer for Squadron 42 from CitizenCon 2018. Roberts Space Industries, the parent company, reported almost 380,000 taken in on October 10th, plus another 600,000 over the next 3 days combined. Putting that in perspective, Star Citizen took in almost 793,000 seven weeks ago, but it's best in the past 2 months. The project's lifetime funding now stands at almost $196 billion.
No, not billion.
Is that with a B? I'm sorry, no. $1 million.
Million.
If they had $196 billion, the game would have been finished yesterday.
$195
million. Or actually, if they finished, they would just be on. They would just escape to some tropical island with no.
Star Citizen is the most crowdfunded venture, video game or otherwise, of all time. This is coming to us from some other source. We're going to vet them later at some point. This week's donations may have shot up because of the announcement of a new ship for the game, the Anvil Valkyrie. It costs $330 and does not include access to Star Citizen itself. The Anvil Valkyrie... nothing like a $330 in-game purchase. The Anvil Valkyrie is currently available on test servers and will join Star Citizen's Persistent Universe Alpha mode when its 3.3 update launches. There is no launch date yet for the 3.3 update. Cloud Imperium Games began sharing a production schedule for Star Citizen and other ongoing development notes back in 2016, but hasn't committed to a launch window. Launch windows are bullshit, says Paul Novak, for any component of the game since. Star Citizen creator Chris Roberts at the time said the public and games press, quote, treated my comments nonetheless as a promise in explaining why he was no longer giving deadlines or launch windows for his game. Roberts pioneered the Wing Commander franchise on MS-DOS PC in the 90s. Star Citizen attracted numerous fans of the neglected space combat genre when its crowdfunding campaign was announced on Kickstarter in 2012. Almost 35,000 people donated just over 2.1 million to begin its development.
Yeah.
Give me 2.1 million. I'll tell you what I could start doing.
Yeah, that, by the way, that trailer showed that they now have Henry Cavill as somebody. Now, here's the thing. By the way, Squadron 42, a while ago, like a year ago, I think, they split Star Citizen into the online version, which is sort of like EVE Online, you know, once you're doing stuff, and Squadron 42, which is basically the single-player version. But yeah, Henry Cavill, in addition to Gary Oldman, Mark Hamill, a bunch of other big stars, John Rhys-Davies, you know, and also Pedro Camacho is doing the music, which is wonderful. If anything comes out of this game, the soundtrack is gorgeous.
This game is like, what if we invented the economy of EVE Online, but without all that game stuff?
You know, I wonder, 195 million. I wonder like, how many countries. If that's more than some countries, GMP.
Like, it would be the greatest racket of all time if you were just, like, inventing an economy like EVE Online and just occasionally releasing assets and details, like, got new songs for the game, got a new ship for the game, Henry Cavill's going to be in the game, but you actually just never made the game. You just sort of released those little details. Increments at a time. Increments at a time.
But here's the thing, you know,
buy our $1,000 ship, please.
Yeah, I mean, that. Now here's the thing. I don't, you know, I think Star Citizen will come out. You know, it's coming out slowly, but then again, you know, it is a technically very. I mean, they just switched engines, and it's not like Duke Nukem Forever. They kept on switching engines every second of the day. You know,
lies.
But it's like. At least people are playing in the alpha, you know. And as everybody know, you know, Minecraft had an alpha that went forever. Yeah. You know? And I think the beta was shorter. Scott, did you join when did you join Minecraft? Was it in the alpha or the beta?
It was during beta.
Okay.
And they would have little releases and it wasn't there was no like need to get it complete. They were just kind of going along adding stuff and just kind of having fun with it. You know, there was no
But the only thing that I have is, like, they're selling ships that don't come with the game, although I'm pretty sure people who bought the ships already had the game, so. It's like $330. I mean, remember when we laughed about people paying $25 for an in-game mount for World of Warcraft? That's pittance compared to this.
That's ridiculous.
Well, on the other hand, yeah, at least the Unveiled Valkyrie is, like, a real, you know, it's not... See, the thing with the horse from World of Warcraft, it was just a skin, right? You're just paying $25 for a skin. At least the Anvil Valkyrie has a loadout, you know? I mean, the worst that can happen to this game is that it'll be mediocre, and people spend a lot of money just to play a mediocre game. This game will come out. It's just what kind of state will it be in when it's finally released? And the ironic thing is that Elite Dangerous has been building and building and building and building, and now that went from a thin game to a really full game, you know? DJ?
Like, I don't know. This really does seem like... What's a good word for it?
There's a documentary 10 years from now in the making right now. Whatever happens, there's a documentary in this.
This seems like Schrodinger's game. It both exists and doesn't exist at the same time.
Well, for the people who want it, it exists. For us, who haven't... It's like, oh, it's the whole thing? But like I said, you know, it's really... I watch... You know, if you go to Pedro Camacho's YouTube channel, he has an entire section for all the music that he did for Star Citizen. And sometimes you just play the playlist, and it's so good. The music is so good. I don't give a shit about the game. I'm already enjoying the soundtrack for free.
The difference between Star Citizen and Minecraft is Star Citizen keeps asking for money. Minecraft, I paid once, and that's it.
But that's the point now. Here's the thing. I don't care. Because here's the thing. No one is forcing anybody to spend this money. They're saying, we have this new ship for you. It costs $330. And people say, yes, please.
And that's stupid.
But I have no.
It's stupid, Jonah.
So? It's stupid.
It is.
But remember, remember the Furby craze? Not the Furby craze. The, oh, damn it. You know, those little dolls. I can't believe I forgot what they were.
Beanie Babies?
Beanie Babies, yeah. People were buying Beanie Babies for $2,000. So, at least these have more of a function. Beanie Babies have no function except to sit on your shelf.
I thought you were going to say Tickle Me Elmo. That was crazy.
I mean, at the end of a Beanie Baby transaction, you still get the Beanie Baby.
Yeah, what's a Beanie
Baby? I have a Vector.
That's true. Once you buy the Beanie Baby, you own the Beanie Baby forever. It's there. That little Valkyrie thing could go poof one day, and then it's gone.
I guess, but you know, and it's gone. Single-player game. They're going to be getting a single-player game, too, so it's not like... That really bugs me, by the way. MMOs vanishing. You know, just like that.
Yeah.
You know what really annoys me? I saw a video again on Darkspore. And there was no friggin' reason that game Darkspore had to shut down. Except we used to have a constant internet account. Yeah, so it's not an MMO. It's like Diablo. You know, Diablo 2 you can still play, and you can play it for free, by the way. I mean, Blizzard gave it away. And it's like, you know, why shut down Darkspore?
I appreciate
why that. Why not? Duck.
Okay, why shut down City of Heroes?
Because it wasn't making money.
It was making... Was it? Oh, no.
Welcome to capitalism.
Money, it just wasn't making the money that NCSoft wanted. NCSoft it ruins everything they touch. Just look at it.
Welcome to capitalism. Give me your money and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but, you know, just if you're not making money on it, why just not let people play it?
Because somebody has to pay to keep the servers on.
No, well, the people let them keep the servers on. I mean, let the players run the servers.
No, it just feels like more work for me that way.
It's just like there's a potential to make money here, but we don't want anybody else to make the money. If we're not making money out of it, no one shall.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just, and you know,
exactly. I'm so glad you finally caught on, Jonah.
Remember the people who wanted World of Warcraft Classic have servers for
I
that?
Remember no one.
Oh, come on. New people who don't know Paul and I were huge City of Hero fans. And I
remember no one.
They
betrayed me.
I still remember I never engaged in it myself, but I still enjoyed going to Paragon City on certain times when people would have costume contests. So they'd line up like a cosplay contest. And people would vote on who had the best costume design.
That sounds delightful.
I mean, City of Heroes had a very vibrant community who really enjoyed it. And Champions Online really, it didn't have the same magic. It really didn't. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Blizzard denies Diablo Reign of Terror is a BlizzCon leak, and this comes to us from GameSpot. We may see some form of Diablo announcement at BlizzCon this year, but a set of merchandise with a new name isn't an accidental leak, according to the studio. A set of new items listed as on the Blizzard Gear Store raised eyebrows with a conspicuous subtitle, Diablo Reign of Terror. However, Blizzard has told GameSpot that these are not related to any new content being prepared for the show. These items include a poster and a men's and women's t-shirt, all showing the frightful visage of the series namesake himself. That raised suspicions that Reign of Terror could be a subtitle for a new game or expansion, especially given that Diablo hasn't had either since Reaper of Souls in 2014, but not so, says Blizzard. These are names and copy used for some new products available at BlizzCon this year and does not direct references to the content at the show, a spokesperson told GameSpot. We first began expecting to see a Diablo announcement due to Blizzard's own schedule for BlizzCon 2018. The Diablo What's Next panel follows the first after the main stage keynote. The existence of a What's Next panel isn't in itself telling. Just about every ongoing Blizzard game gets one. But coming just after the main stage presentation is usually reserved for the biggest announcement of the event. Diablo also has a second planned panel about the world of Diablo, scheduled for the following day. Blizzard has previously indicated that it has multiple Diablo projects in the works. We know about one of them, since Diablo 3 was announced for the Nintendo Switch. But the phrasing definitely implied there is more than one is in development. Some of them are going to take longer than others, but we may have things to show you later this year, said community manager Brandy Camel. Brandy Camel? I hope that's just a username, because Brandy Camel sounds like, I'm sorry, but it sounds like a porn actress. Hi, I'm Brandy Camel. Check out my humps. Anyways.
Why do we let him on the show?
I don't know.
BlizzCon 2018 kicks off Friday, November 2nd, right here in L.A. And, you know, the thing is, I have never attended BlizzCon, so I contacted someone I know at BlizzCon, say, oh, can you pretty please get me a press pass? I mean, the cutoff date, I think, was in July or August. It's way past the cutoff date to get but, you know, I've always wanted to see what BlizzCon was like. So, are we excited for another Diablo if it's coming?
No.
Really? That's how Diablo 3 crushed you, huh? The thing is, that's actually my reaction to Diablo 3. It's like,
Burn it to the ground, start over with something new. How about Diablo 4?
Paul, I thought you were really hoping... Paul, weren't you the one who was really hoping for a Warcraft 4?
Yes, I was actually hoping for Warcraft 4. I want them to get over themselves with World of Warcraft and make, like, a decent video game again.
But capitalism, it's making too much money.
I know! Capitalism's evil!
It's not making money. It only has 8 million subscribers now. It's 7 million. It's like nothing.
Yeah, these days it's
14 million it used to be.
Yeah, these days it's all about Overwatch. You put a hamster in a death device and just let him roll around and fucking bank.
I know, it's crazy. The game is so boring after a while, and yet it keeps bringing people to it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's like a sport, though. That game is like a sport. You know, it's the same game, but people are trying to do better. But Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos, that came out in 2002. It's 14 years since the last, and Beyond the Dark Portal was in 96. That was in Warcraft 2. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm thinking, was there an expansion for Warcraft 3?
Yeah,
there was.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what year that was in, but I'm just saying, it's been well over a decade since we had a Warcraft RTS.
Yes, it has been. It would be nice if they would do that. You know, go back to RTS Warcraft.
No, I mean it's never going to happen. That would be like an Obsidian Entertainment type thing these days, where somebody splits off from Blizzard and starts doing RTS. But Blizzard will never do it. The RTS is for a specific kind of fan, just like isometric RPGs are, which they can be successful, but not as successful as Blizzard Activision wants them to be, and so they're never going to pull that trigger.
See, that's what I hate that whole it needs to make this amount of money, you know, and I really feel like that kills creativity, because then it's like, well, I can't go do this kind of game because it's just not going to make enough money, and so it never gets made.
I don't know if they think RTSs will sell anymore. I mean, they released, it's almost like they were forced to release StarCraft II's expansion. You notice that? Sort of like, yeah, I mean, we promised, so we might as well work on it, you know. But, I mean, what they're coming out with is, we're going to give a collectible card game because that makes money.
Yeah. Yep. Sell some card packs here and there, make some new cards every once in a while. Yeah, of course it makes money.
I'm looking at Amazon. The Warcraft 3 battle chest is only $25.
If they could figure out how to Hearthstone-ize an RTS, they would.
Actually, you know, that was sort of the way Warcraft 3. I mean, you had the heroes. I mean, you could have hero cards that you plop into the RTS.
I take it back. They did figure out how to Hearthstone-ize an RTS. It's called Heroes of the Storm.
That's true.
Which was based off of League of Legends, which was based off of Dota, which was a mod of Warcraft 3. It all runs in a circle.
You guys aren't instilling confidence in me with Microsoft buying Obsidian.
Much more confidence in them than I do with. Here's the thing, Blizzard and Valve, they don't make games anymore. It doesn't seem like.
No.
They don't make games. Valve especially doesn't make games. But, you know, Blizzard, it's like they're going down the same path, sort of like, yeah, we have this money-making machine that we're just going to milk, and we don't need anything new. You know, at some point, there's going to be a new RTS on Kickstarter that's going to fire people's imaginations, and it'll start up again. I mean, Total Annihilation was how long ago?
Oh, my God, I've watched so many games on Kickstarter.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's a setting.
Whatever you want to say about Star Citizen, the Kickstarter campaign reinvigorated an interest in the space simulation.
I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that there will be an Obsidian Entertainment of RTS someday. Like, people do want to play them. It's just not as much as a mainline developer would want to pay for it.
But, you know, after you had the Star Citizen thing, you had Elite Dangerous, then you had No Man's Sky, you had Estroneer, you know, and all these other space-based sims. So it's sort of like, you know, you need that one really, really popular Kickstarter project, even if it's junk. Even, you know, Mighty No. 9 inspired people, hey, you know what, we should be making some more action platformers. You know, action platformers are going to make money? Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's similar to what Telltale did with adventure games. People, adventure games are popular, let's make some. Then they crowded out the entire... the problem with Telltale is they crowded out everybody else from – it was sort of like PopCap in casual games. Yeah, you're not going to make an adventure game. We're the people who make adventure games.
They killed it and saturated it with mediocre games.
Well, at least with adventure games, you know, you just go to the good old Germans because they love the, anything that's not a Telltale adventure game is some developer from Germany.
Well, there was the Sierra King's Quest games. But they
which, by the way, are all now playable on the Xbox One for, in a single disc.
I saw it in Walmart 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Cool.
Unfortunately, it's crap, but, you know.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, so anyways.
Nobody cares about Diablo. Let's move on.
I care about Warcraft, Paul. So anyways, says Diablo. Scott, take the next, because you've been you're hinting about this item.
Yes. Microsoft looking to partner with new Japanese studios. This is from Twinfinite. Sorry, Twinfinite.
You know, I saw that and it made me instantly think of Twin Galaxies.
Not us.
Microsoft, since their E3 2018 conference, has been announcing the acquisition of new studios, including Ninja Theory and Playground Games, as well as forming a new Santa Monica-based one, The Initiative, compromising of former Crystal Dynamics. Former Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix alumni. Rumors in the past week have Microsoft negotiating with Obsidian Entertainment. An even more significant announcement could still be in the pipeline, too. Microsoft is seemingly planning on expanding its horizons to Japan, perhaps even looking to add Eternal Studios from the region. Phil Spencer, Executive Vice President of gaming at Microsoft, spoke of his desire to work more closely with Japanese developers in the future during E3. And now he's over there apparently looking to put that plan into motion. Earlier this week, Spencer tweeted, "Spending this week in Japan visiting studios and publishers will be great to talk about games and development and get feedback on how we're making progress with the creators here. Armed with subscription services, streaming technology and hardware platform that is likely to support all the gaming quality life features as the Xbox One, Microsoft's next generation platform is going to be hugely competitive if it can kick things off with a substantial library of games, particularly so if that library is plush with a diverse variety of content, namely Japanese games."
And that sort of explains why, if you're at E3 and you're at the Microsoft conference, what were the big games that they were showing off? They were showing off Kingdom Hearts 3, Devil May Cry 5. They were showing off Jump Force. All these games that you would typically associate with Japanese companies like Sony and Microsoft. They were saying, "Hey, look, we're pimping out DMC5 and all that stuff." And I'm going to tell you which company I'm willing to bet that Microsoft would purchase, and that's Platinum Games. Because they were going to make Scalebound with Platinum, and also Bayonetta was the best reviewed Xbox 360 game ever in Japan. You know, I think they would want, if they're going to pick up a Japanese company that's going to be on the level of something like Obsidian, it's going to be Platinum, because they already have a relationship with them.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
It's interesting to see if they go into making more RPGs than just Fable. I would want a variety of RPG games and not just another Fable made by Obsidian or Platinum or Playground.
Now, here's the thing that might interest you, Scott. I was talking to some people who are in the know, and they said the reason why Microsoft is looking at Obsidian Entertainment is because they're trying to reestablish a presence in PC gaming. The Xbox One is sort of like an offshoot of that, you know, Xbox Anywhere, you know, do an Obsidian thing, you know, it's available on PC, it's also available. No, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to strengthen their brand in PC gaming. Because you notice that a lot of people have rediscovered PC gaming. Platinum Games and other Japanese developers, you've noticed they've been porting everything to PC lately. Everything's going to run a PC lately.
Yeah, like XSEED has been, and Falcom have been putting a lot of their games on PC, like the Trials in the Sky and Ease.
Yeah, and, E-Series. You have Platinum and Vanquish and Bayonetta going onto PC and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Now, obviously, a Japanese developer would be more for the Xbox console, but I think Microsoft is starting to learn at how lucrative the PC gaming market can be. Minecraft.
Yeah, that got them a lot of money. I think they made back their money that year that they purchased it, like by Christmas they had made the money back. And now they're coming out with a dungeon crawling version of Minecraft.
I was in Best Buy and it just made me feel weird to see Lego Minecraft. It's sort of like
that's redundant.
It's like Cat.
Yeah.
It's like taking a scoop of chocolate ice cream and putting it on another chocolate ice cream.
If they were smart, they'd buy Square Enix and make Kingdom Hearts an MMO.
No. Enix is too big a publisher. They're looking for studios, not publishers. Although I will say, Microsoft has partnered with publishers before on some stuff.
I think Jonah, you'll understand that my insights are always awesome. You should just agree with me and avoid yourself the trouble of getting torn to shreds.
Well, I mean, the Dragon's Quest XI that Square Enix just released was a really great product, and I don't think they need to be bought out by anybody, and that they're doing fine on their own.
I didn't say that it would benefit Square Enix at all.
Oh, okay.
I would be surprised if Microsoft bought IDOS from Square Enix, though. I mean, Square wants a lot of Western product, but the stuff that IDOS has been doing for them have been falling flat lately. Deus Ex hasn't done anything for them, for instance.
Kingdom Hearts would be wonderful as an MMO because then
don't you think?
Because MMO stories are always pretty much worthless, and that would take care of 95% of the problem with that series.
they did have a Kingdom Hearts MMO. It was called Disney Infinity, damn it.
You get to go visit your Frozen Land or your Lion King.
Yeah,
or your
Disney Infinity. Lula. Until Disney decided we're not going to do Infinity anymore.
Jonah, don't make me read you to filth. Stop talking about things that you don't know anything about.
I know that Paul. Disney
I'll
Infinity
kill you. Moving on. We're moving on now.
No. We got to talk about this.
No, we don't.
We don't have to
so
Disney
report
Infinity.
PS4 users.
Okay,
are sending
stop,
messages
stop
to private.
Wait. I still have to talk about this other thing for a moment. The thing is that Microsoft used to be death of developers when it was Don Matrick running the show, Ensemble Studios, they did the Age of Empires stuff and then they were crushed and they were gone. With Mojang, I think Microsoft's showing that the wisest idea to have, if you're going to get a developer, just do that thing you do that'll make us money.
Yeah. Basically have them in the camp, but just let them do their thing. And as long as they put a game out, it's all good.
I mean, for those kind
of games. Essentially, yeah.
And I feel like that's how it's going to go with Obsidian, too. I hope, anyways.
Here's the thing. I could see them, for the new RPG that they're not going to talk about, Fable, they moved some people from Ninja Theory to Playground, because Playground is the one who's developing it. I'm pretty sure they would say, let's have some key personnel who really knows role-playing games from Obsidian to sort of help out with Fable.
Well, and I have to imagine that with, Microsoft has proven with things like Minecraft and Tunic and Ori and the Blind Forest and Lucky's Tale that they're willing to let the folks in their camp do their thing. And so it does give me some hope as far as, how Obsidian would be handled under the Microsoft brand.
Anyways, we can stop licking Microsoft's balls for now, and we can talk about go ahead, since you wanted to do it.
Paul.
Oh, I'm not doing it. I only read once.
Oh, okay.
I read my report already.
Report. PS4 users are sending messages to private after discovering a new bug that bricks their consoles. And this comes to us from US Gamer. PlayStation 4 users are reporting a messaging glitch that's causing some consoles to brick, forcing owners to factory reset their PS4 systems. The exploit is used via the PS4's in-console messaging system and can be prevented by setting messages to private. On the PS4 subreddit, there are reports that from players who received strange messages that once opened caused their consoles to lock up. Apparently, even receiving the notification of the message can cause a forced reset. A top post on their subreddit is warning other users to set their messages to private, lest they fall victim to the bug. They explained it happened to them and their party members during one game. It was Rainbow Six Siege. And right now I know TJ's heart just fell and sympathizes with him immensely there. And the only party member, though not affected, was the one who had their messages set to private. While there's no official explanation for the bugs, many in the thread are speculating that the attacks are like a text exploit used to crash iPhones a couple of years back. Those attacks took advantage of exploits of codes that process texts. There's no official word from Sony regarding this exploit, but in the meantime, you can set your messages to private by logging onto your PS4, going to account management, then setting privacy settings to personal info where you can set messages to either friends only or no one. I have some additional insight on this.
If you feel like you have a suspect message, you can also access the message via the PlayStation app on your phone and delete it from there.
Make sure, because just getting the message can brick it.
That's what I'm saying is that you go through your phone to open the message and then delete it from your phone instead of turning your PS4 on in any way.
So I asked Jordan about this, and he said that a similar problem happened with iPhones, and it was because the there was a character, unsupported ASCII character, that locked the system. And he says, in this case, I believe it's an unsupported emoji. So he also, by the way, recommended loading the PlayStation messaging app to your phone and deleting it from there.
Isn't there a default symbol doesn't support, so we're just putting a square here?
You'd think any modern messaging app would render unsupported characters as a square, but apparently not everyone is with it.
I'll bet you it's a penis emoji.
I don't know if one of those has a standard.
Okay, I don't know.
Paul's knocking my emoji. Every system should have one. It should support it.
Yes, I agree that every system should have a penis emoji.
I mean, you can have it on your Miis. Have a penis face.
We don't have that.
Good night, everybody.
We don't have that one in the work Slack. I'll say that much.
Well, I know what the title for this podcast is going to be.
Yeah, we have 12 different versions of Party Parrot, but no penis emoji.
So anyways, this has been your PSA. PlayStation 4 users, do safe messaging.
See, and this, like, on one hand, I want everybody to be safe, put your stuff on private if you're worried about it. And on the other hand, I'm so mad because it means I can't shit talk somebody if they leave a match on me in BlazBlue.
Oh.
Always message safely. Wear gloves.
Like, how am I supposed to send someone a screenshot of me kicking their ass in the game with a little text that says LOL bitch if they have their messages set to private? It's not fair.
Wow, you must be fun at Evo.
Hey, if you're going to quit on me, you deserve it.
Oh, that's true. No one's quitting at Evo, not that I think of. Or if they do, they're just going to take
Don't
their headphones,
you quit on me, man.
Slam it down on the desk and say, I'm out of here. And you have the pleasure of watching them be pissed off and rage quitting. At least, see, that's the thing. Rage quit in person, that's fine, because you get the satisfaction of seeing them do it. Just turning off
your
console.
Yeah, you still get the win. Yeah, and the tournament organizer is still going to give you the win. On PS4, it's just a wild west of, I don't want to take this loss to you, so I'm going to quit the game before it logs it.
Wow, you mean you don't actually get an automatic win if someone rage quits?
It does. It records it as a disconnection, which in ARC system works doesn't count as a win or a loss, but it does keep track of those. And if you end up with too many of them, they'll mark your name in big red letters, so everybody else knows that you have
a scarlet A on your chest.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: say they should be smarter about it. Like if you're 3/4 through the game and you have a massive lead and the other person disconnects, count it as a win because they're not going to come back.
Yeah, you'd think. But that must be really difficult to code because Arc System Works has yet to do anything like that. I like the NetherRealm Studios version of it, where if somebody quits on you in the middle of the match, it automatically fatalities them or like their head explodes or some shit. I think that they had something like that in the Injustice games, too. And quite frankly, I wish they had that in Arc System Works games, because, you know what? There's a lot of reasons that you could have disconnected, but the most likely one is that you were losing and you were salty about it.
Mm-hmm. Rage quitter.
Salty ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chief Chef. What did I say?
Chief Chef.
Yeah. You know what? Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback. So leave us comments on our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast and subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. And I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter.
I am at Johnny Chugs.
I am at Alpha Shard.
And I don't do that, so come to my website, partlywicked.com.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, thanks for coming back, Paul, for 350.
I do what I can.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
You're only paying him $3.50 for this episode?
Right? We're getting screwed here.
Hey, Scott, are you going to go to one of Paul's escape rooms?
Sure. You want to meet me all the way out in Vegas?
No, his escape rooms are in Florida. He's branching out to Vegas.
I haven't built any in Florida yet. Oh, what? You know.
I thought you had escape rooms in Florida, Paul.
Well, that's where my client is. They're not building them here in Florida. They're building them in Vegas.
I guess that all of Disney World counts as a escape room.